I need you to hear this morning what God has planned for us and how we affect our own lives and the lives of those around us. We have the power. Oftentimes, we want to say, well, God has the power to do this. Absolutely, but He has given us the power in certain areas to do certain things. So we're going to begin this morning with Isaiah chapter 58, and we're going to read the verses 6 through 12. Gino?
Is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? It is not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh. When your light shall break, then your light shall break forth like the morning, and your healing shall spring forth speedily. And your righteousness shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, Here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and the spreading wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones, and you shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall rise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in.
What an amazing promise. If we do these certain things, and I want to go down the road with them, and I'm going to deal with two aspects of this morning. It's going to take me a couple weeks to go through this, but I want us to compare this morning these words from Isaiah chapter 58 with what Jesus said his call was as he opened up the scroll once he came out from, he was in the wilderness for 40 days and fasted and battled the devil, and as he came out, he came into the synagogue and he read this saying, this is what his call is. So, Luke chapter 4, verse 16 through 19.
So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord.
Let me ask you this morning, is the Spirit of the Lord on you? 12 of you. Is the Spirit of the Lord on you?
Yes.
Is it in you?
Yes.
Is He with you?
Yes.
Okay. So if the Spirit of the Lord is on you, like Jesus said it was on Him, said, He has been anointed to preach the gospel to the poor, heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, which is Isaiah chapter 58. We are called to make this difference. Say,
I'm called
to make a difference.
Amen.
Amen. See, I need you to understand that this is part of our call as Christians. Isaiah 58 is part of our call to be able to set the captive free, to loosen the bonds of wickedness, to tear down the oppression, to lift the heavy burdens. See, God isn't asking us. He's not asking us to ask Him to do this. Okay? What He's saying is, we have the power to make this happen. Say, I have the power to make this happen. And as with all things with the Lord, as we do things out of love, out of grace, out of mercy, God pours out more into us. We cannot outgive God. We cannot pour out from ourselves and that have God refresh us. So I want to start this morning with loosening the bonds of wickedness. Bonds are things that hold you back. They are bondages. Say with me, bonds are bondages. Okay? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Gino?
Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us.
The writer of Hebrews is saying, let's set aside these bondages. See, when we have sins that hold us, when we have sins that we do, then we need to realize we need to accept responsibility for these sins because we have made them happen. Oh, but the devil made me do it. Malarkey. The devil didn't make you do anything. You chose. We choose the sin. We have that power within us. You just said to me, you've got the power, the Holy Spirit is on you and in you and with you. And if He is on you and in you and with you, then you have the power to break every bond. You make the choice. And see, when we accept that responsibility, then God can begin to do the work in us. God has potential built into every person. Turn to the person next to you and say, God's got a lot of potential in you. And that's the truth. God has put potential in every person. He has blessed you with gifts and callings and anointings. And even though you don't, in many ways, don't recognize them, and part of our journey, our walk in faith, is discovering these things every day. Amen. And we discover them every day by being in the Word and by being in prayer. We discover them every day as His Word does the washing over us and encourages us and strengthens us. I was amazed as I was doing my reading this morning as I'm reading through the Bible this year again, and I hope you are reading with us. I was reading in the Bible and I just lifted out what a miracle it was that after God flooded the entire earth, Noah sent out this dove and he had dried the earth out so much in just a short period of time that a tree was already bearing fruit because a dove came back with an olive branch with leaves on it. I mean, have you ever seen a flood-devastated area? When I was down working with the folks at Katrina, I mean, I was down there like 3 weeks after it happened. I was there 6 months after it happened. I was there a year after it happened. And I was there 3 years after it happened. And things were still devastated. And yet, after just a very short period of time, God had already caused the earth to begin to bear fruit after the flood. Isn't that amazing? These are little intricate miracles to you think about. And if God can do that, what can He do in your life? What floods can He blow away out of your life? What things can He cause fruit to happen out of impossible situations? There's little nuggets you can get. The other thing is that if we realize our potential, if we realize the anointings and the calls in our lives, then we can begin to recognize them in other people's lives. Sometimes people just need to know what they're called to do. Sometimes people just need to know that God's got an anointing and a plan and a purpose for their lives. Here's something you're not going to like. Say with me, Pastor, I'm not going to like it. Good, you said that by faith, because I know you're not going to like it. We're called to loosen the bonds of wickedness. And the easiest definition of wickedness is simply this. Wickedness is doing any sin. Because we like to point out the wickedness in others. Oh, that's wicked. That person's wicked. Man, that guy that just beat his wife, he's wicked. Yeah, that child predator, they're wicked. You know, that Ravens football team, they're wicked. I went down a road this morning about Le'Veon Bell. No, I don't want to go down. I know I'm right. He shouldn't have played at all this season. I'll go down that road because I started it. You got this guy that's a leader, okay? As much as I don't like it, sports teams are leaders in our culture. And you got this guy that's a leader that's driving while under the influence of marijuana. He admitted it himself. It's not anything I'm presuming. I'm not casting judgment on him over something that is assumed. He said it. and nothing happens to him. And he plays all season. And all I heard during the football game, and I did watch the entire football game, we were in the process of desanification in our home, and so I really wasn't paying attention to it. It was on while I was taking down the ornaments. But about every 5 minutes, I heard, wow, if Le'Veon Bell was playing, then they'd be winning. If Le'Veon Bell, I'm thinking, this guy shouldn't have been there the whole season. Our culture says, well, he's a football player, so he gets a pass. He could have killed somebody on the highway, but he gets a pass. He's a leader, and he's and our culture says, well, you know what? He's just a football player. That's a problem with our culture. These kids are getting pushed along because he said, I didn't know it was wrong. And I believe that. He probably got pushed along all through high school, all through college, because he was a football player and wasn't taught anything that's real. But folks, we have to be the salt and the light. Our culture, if we accept this kind of stuff in our culture, to say that, well, that's okay, then we're letting people go to hell. Because what are we going to accept next that's okay? And I'm not saying, I have plenty of mercy and grace for people in sin. Please, you've heard me say that. I have plenty of love for people. But I don't want people to go to hell. I don't want our culture to accept things and just say, well, you know what? He's a football player. He's a baseball player. He's a hockey star. He is, you know, whatever. He's an actor. He's you know. We can't accept it in our culture. We have to say, righteousness must prevail. Because the more you accept something that is unrighteous as being okay, the further away you walk from God. See, we've all known believers who know the Lord, yet don't seem to live a victorious life. Or they seem to be held in bondage to some carnal desire. They seem to be held back, and nothing seems to work for them. They may be held back by bonds of wickedness, of their own doing, self-sabotaging habits and addictions that keep tripping them up. But folks, we have the power to help set them free, and we have the power within us, if we are doing this, to make a change. If the Holy Spirit dwells in you, the same Holy Spirit that was the breath of God that spoke life to Adam, the same Holy Spirit that speaks and convicts and strengthens and encourages, the same Holy Spirit that was with God the Father all the time, the same Holy Spirit that was with Jesus all the time, the same Holy Spirit dwells in us that raised Christ from the dead. If that same Holy Spirit dwells in us, then we have the power to loosen the bonds of wickedness in people's lives. And we have the power to not go down the road of wickedness in our own lives. We choose to do that. See, if we blame the devil all the time, then we don't accept responsibility. I am responsible for my own sin. I'm not going to be able to stand before the Lord and say, it was the devil that made me do that, God. Because I have a choice with every sin that I commit. Do I like committing sin? Absolutely not. Do I fail on a regular basis? Absolutely. Do I make it as an excuse? Absolutely not. I just deal with it. I accept the responsibility as your pastor that I have got to lead in righteousness. I've got to lead with an attitude that's holy. I've got to lead with an attitude of love. And I don't always do that. And I deal with it. I have bad days like you have bad days. But every time I have a bad day, I'm still choosing to have a bad attitude. I'm still choosing to sin. But every day, hopefully, I'm growing more and more like Him because I'm in the Word and I'm in prayer. And every day I'm killing off my flesh a little bit more. Wickedness is something we can see in people all around us. People begin to gossip, they begin to lie, they begin to complain, they begin to whine, and rather than helping them to find the solution to their problem, we let them live in that bondage. We cannot do that anymore, folks. We've got to lift people out of the muck and mire. We've got to lift people out of the garbage that they're in. We've got to lift them out. We think on these things, whatever is lovely, whatever is pure, whatever is a good report, let your mind dwell on these things. We've got to let our minds dwell on these things. Here's how we stop it. Number one, we need to understand that we serve a God with all the answers. You know that? Your God that you serve has all the answers. Say with me, the God that I serve has all the answers. See? Simple. I got a question? He's got the answer. We need to help people to see the good. We are agents of change and agents of good. We are light. Our light should be bursting out of us. And so when people are going down the road of gossip and envy and fear and insecurity and anger and lying and complaining and whining, we need to be the light. We need to give them the answer. We need to help them see the good, see the potential. I have a very close friend of mine who used to be a whiner, serious whiner. He loved the Lord, but he used to be a serious whiner. And he used to get really depressed very easily. And so I started challenging him. I would say to him, I just got to the point of just saying, so? And he knew what that meant. Because when I said so to him, that meant that I was asking him, what is he reading in God's Word right now? And what is God talking to him about through prayer? Because I want to hear. Because if he's not reading God's Word and he's not in prayer, he's going to be whining and complaining and fearful and insecure and angry and prideful and arrogant and jealous and envious. Because he doesn't have a standard to hold himself to. Oh, well, I read the Bible. Yeah, about 20 years ago. Once. Read the story of John the Baptist, and it scared you. Read the book of Revelation, it confused you. Started reading in Leviticus. There's great stuff in the Word of God. It's the thing that holds me to accountability. We need to help them to find the answers to their problems, whatever they're facing, whatever their battle is. Listen, if they're whining to you, if they're complaining to you, if they're jealous and envious or insecure or fearful or angry and they're coming to you, that means they trust you. And if you begin to help them to find the answers, because we have the answers. Now it's up to them to choose to follow the answer. And it's up to you every day to follow the answer, but we have the answers. You know. If you see them in sin, don't sit in judgment. Help them to get free or help them to completely avoid the sin. See, we aren't called to bring conviction on anybody. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Say with me, the Holy Spirit's job is to convict people of sin. What we're called to do is to be Jesus to them. We're called to loosen the bonds of wickedness. When we allow someone to gossip or whine or complain, be envious, jealous, prideful, arrogant, whatever, pick the sin du jour, then we're guilty of that sin as well. Wow. Folks, what's the reality? The reality is the power of the Holy Spirit dwells in you. The God who shaped the universe dwells in you. And see, I know some of you are saying, well, you know what, I don't feel like it. We grow. We grow through it. When I first got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, I was nowhere near where I am right now because I kept letting God work on me. When I see sin in my life, it's not something for me to be ashamed of. It's like, okay, God, I've got another opportunity to grow. Amen. See, if we're afraid of dealing with the sin in our lives, if we're afraid of dealing with the sin of the people around us, out of love, out of grace, out of mercy, out of compassion, then we will never help them to grow. Folks, don't be afraid of sin. Deal with it. Look at it as an opportunity. You know, it's Christmas time, and I did, I showed the video a few weeks ago, but I did a video with a local Christmas tree farmer, Bernie Buccinieri, and I asked him about something. I said, you know, what about the trees that have, like, holes in them? He said, Tim, that's not a tree with a hole in it. That's an ornament opportunity. See, when I recognize the sin in my life, it's not a problem. I thank God that I do, because one of the worst things is to go on sinning and not see it. To have a bad attitude, to have stinking thinking, to have and not do something about it. When I see this ornament opportunity in my life, it's a great thing, because then I say, okay, God, good. Okay, you're letting me see this now. And I thank God that he didn't let me see all my sin at the same time, because I'd just be a puddle on the floor. But he lets me see the sin areas in my life as I can handle it. And then I deal with them and one at a time. It's like, okay, God, this is an excellent opportunity for you to do work in me. And then, here's a dirty word, I have to discipline myself to overcome that area. But God, why don't you just lift me out of it? Because he says that he disciplines those whom he loves. He trains us to not go down that road. We have been trained to sin. Yeah, we got away with it once, and we didn't have any ramifications of it, so that trained us to do it again. Stinking thinking, the bad attitude. Every bondage or captivity has a key to freedom, and as a child of God, you possess that key. Say with me, every bondage has a key to freedom. And I have that key. See, you are not defined by your sin unless you allow yourself to be defined by your sin. You can make the difference. Some sins are easier to deal with than others. But sin is sin in God's eyes, and we can deal with it, and we can help then others to be set free. One of the unique things Paige and I have seen as a direct result of her overcoming the breast cancer, which I would have never really seen before, is that cancer is a culture. If you ever had somebody that had cancer, there's this whole culture about cancer. And Paige is having more and more opportunities to share with people about the love of God because of the difficulties that she walked through, because of God's faithfulness, because of your prayers, because of your support. She's able to bring hope and life to people. Everything we go through, folks, no matter how difficult the struggle, no matter how difficult the struggle is with our sin or the situations or the battles that we face, it's an opportunity for God to teach us so that we can help others. If we will but decide that we trust God at his word, that we believe God, that he absolutely wants us to live as overcomers, as more than conquerors, as victors in every realm. See, the problem is rarely easy. It often takes discipline and accountability to break bondages. Generally speaking, people place themselves in bondages and must be shown the way out. It's tough. If you've done something, some kind of sin, over and over and over and over and over and over again, maybe you've done it for a year, 2 years, 10 years, 20 years, 40 years, it's tough to change. But see, I want to remind you that if you loosen the bonds of wickedness, then your light will break forth as the morning, your healing will spring forth, your righteousness will go before you, the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard, God will talk to you and answer your prayers. You will break off wickedness in your own life. Your light will be like dawn in the darkness. The Lord will continually guide you. He will satisfy you always. There will not be a drought in your life. You will rebuild those things that the enemy has destroyed, and you will create new foundations for new generations. I was reading this morning. Vicki gave me a plaque talking about Pennsylvania, and one of the things that, I'll just paraphrase, that William Penn did when he got this state was he dedicated it to the glory of God. That this would be a place where people would be able to come and live in freedom. And I believe that that is a promise from God, a prophetic word over this state. I believe that we can lead the United States in freedom. I believe that racism can be killed off in this state. Prejudice can be killed off in this state. Inequity can be killed off in this state. Bondages can be killed off in this state. This state was given to a man of God, and he dedicated it to God. That's why he named the very first city in this state Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Because he believed that God had given him this land. A king gave it to him, but God gave it to him through a king. That this land would be a land of freedom. And I believe that we are right now in this generation called to see that happen. We're also called to undo heavy burdens. The word undo here in Hebrew means to tear away. We are to tear away heavy burdens. You know, when you read undo, you think, okay, I'm going to untie something. How many of you, when you get a Christmas gift, you take very little time, you take time, you open it up? When I was a kid, my mom used to reuse wrapping paper. We were cheap. Thrifty. So we would have to lift the tape off. So you'd save, you'd unwrap the paper. She's not here today. She's not feeling well, so I can say all these stories about it. And it worked. It worked. You know, my mom and dad took nothing and made something out of it. And we would save the wrapping paper. So we had to take our time opening our gifts. And now, man, it's like, my kids are, even now, ripping the paper off the boxes. And that's the idea behind the tearing of the yoke. Or the burden. Sorry, just the tearing away of the burden that just ripped. See, here's the deal. Many of us carry burdens for years. Things we were never meant to carry. Guilt, remorse, regret, false responsibility, unforgiveness. Sometimes we may be even trying to do God's job because, see, He's the burden bearer. Say with me, God is my burden bearer. We're to cast our care on Him and not hold on to the cares and worry. Say with me, oh my. Because what I'm about to tell you, you're not going to be happy with either. But if you grab it, you'll learn something and you will be happy with it. Worrying is meditating on the devil's thoughts. Okay, I got three amens over here. Everybody else is like, oh, man, I don't like that, Pastor. I prefer to worry as much as I can. I want to worry about everything. Heaven forbid that God's really in charge of stuff. Worry is meditating on the devil's thoughts. God, Jesus, never worried. He's never anxious, never fearful, never insecure. Never prideful, never arrogant. And He dwells in you. He lives in you. The Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. Where does worrying get us? That's right. It gets us to the doctor's office. It makes us more susceptible to flu and colds. It makes us more susceptible to stomach ailments. It causes us to have sleepless nights. I'm not saying be irresponsible. I'm just saying, God, you know what? I'm worrying about this, so God, I just want to give it to you because I don't want to worry about it. I don't want to be anxious. I don't want to freak out. I don't want to be fearful. I don't want to beat the dog or kick my wife. You know, I just want to, God, I just want to trust you. I want you to, as we're doing this fast of doing these things, undoing the heavy burdens, we need to start with us and work from there. But I want you to begin really listening to people in light of this. I want you to look at their Facebook posts. When you hear them carrying a heavy burden of guilt or remorse or unforgiveness or regret, lift their burden. Be proactive. Talk with them about God's forgiveness. Pray with them. Is there something physically you can do to help them with their burden? Give them hope. We are the agents of hope. We have the King of Kings and Lord of Lords on our side. I'll give you three things that are your job in regard to dealing with burdens. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. Gino?
He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God?
To do justly. It means to love justice, what is right, and to do right because it's right. See, folks, there's some things that are not just in our society, not just in our culture. And we need to do what is right, to do justice. We need to love mercy. Do you extend mercy to others or only to yourself? All of us fall short of the glory of God. All of us fail. All of us blow it. Folks, my prayer is literally every day, God, help me to be a man 100% sold out to you. You know the problem with that prayer? It's that God has to show me the sin in my life and for me to deal with it in order to become that way. We have to, when we see others' failures, we have to show mercy to them. Mercy sometimes is a swift kick in the butt to say, listen, I love you, don't do this again. But it's never judgment. I got one of the highest compliments from somebody I was counseling, somebody that's not a Christian yet. And they one of their battles is they have a fear of being around people, being accepted. And I said, but you share all these things with me. And they said to me, it's because I know you won't judge me. You just love me. And for some of you, it's a struggle because you automatically think that I'm judging you. And folks, I want to be God's man, and so I'm not going to sit in judgment over you. I am going to push you to become who God wants you to be. But I know my own weaknesses well enough that I'm going to pour out mercy on you to help you to get to the place you need to be. And it says to walk humbly with your God, and I want to emphasize here the word with. Because sometimes we try to walk ahead of God, sometimes we walk behind Him, sometimes He's too distant from us because we haven't invested time with Him. See, folks, if we do these three things, it is like what the New Testament says, that we're to love God, love people, and make disciples. I am always loving God, loving people, and always making disciples. I am always trying to be just, trying to be merciful, and trying to walk humbly with God, because I'm in His Word every day so I can know who He is. I talk to Him every day. It's called prayer. And He talks back to me. And I'm in fellowship with believers. I know sometimes, though, that we can't get to this place because we have some key burdens that we bear, that we are carrying. And I want you to think for a moment about three of the burdens in your life, three things that are constant stumbling blocks for you that you're battling, three areas in your life that they hit you like a truck all the time. If you're ready to have those things torn off of you and undone from your life, then a little bit later, when I ask you to come to the altar for prayer, we're going to believe God for that. Casting our care on the Lord is an act of humility, and it protects us from the enemy and from our own flesh. It's not easy to give everything to God, because we want to hold on to it. We have this false sense of responsibility. There are days where I talk with people and I pray with them, and I know they don't get it. There are days, to be perfectly honest, when I preach sermons up here and I look at the sea of faces and I know it's people don't get it. And I just spend hours and hours in prayer saying, God, please, this is Your word. Help them to get it. Because You want them to walk in freedom. You want them to be in a place where they've never been before, fulfilling their destiny, fulfilling their call, living a life of love and joy and peace and patience and gentleness and meekness and kindness, faithfulness and self-control, and seeing victory after victory and overcoming and overcoming and overcoming. 1 Peter 5, 6 through 8. Gino?
Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour.
It takes humility to cast our cares on Him, because it's His job, not ours, to carry our cares, to carry our burdens. Say with me, it's His job, not mine. I want you to remember these promises regarding this truth. If we do these things, just to summarize, the light inside of you will explode in life and in power. You'll walk in healing mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and physically, and not that you won't be challenged in these areas, but God will always get you through them with victory. You will be known as having a great reputation of uprightness or righteousness. God will always have your back. You will never be without direction or guidance. He will always hear and answer your prayer, and you will never fade or weaken in even the toughest times. Isn't that amazing? The enemy lies to us. He says, well, you don't have time to read the Word. You don't have time to pray. You know what? You've got to carry this. You've got to deal with this. And God says, no, that's not what I've called you to do. I've called you to just live a life full of My Spirit, that you'll move in power and in might, and that your life will be changed. See, if the enemy can't get you to sin blatantly, what he'll do is he'll get you to carry your own burdens. And then you get burned out and wiped out, and you can't feel his presence because between you and God's presence are all these burdens. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Basically, his yoke is just following him wherever he goes. It's just listening to him. When he says, take a yoke upon you, a yoke is was a piece of wood that held a younger oxen and an older oxen together. So the older oxen would be able to lead and teach and guide the younger oxen. The older oxen carries all the weight. The younger oxen just gets guided. When you feel weighed down, when you feel overwhelmed, it's because you're carrying things you shouldn't be carrying. And you need to fight to say, God, I'm giving it back to you. God, I'm giving it back to you. Now, folks, I want to put all this in context because I've got one more key point to make here. So I want to read the end of Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13 through 14.
If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. Then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth, and feed you from the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken.
Amen. Sorry about the coughing. I swallowed a little bit of water, went down the wrong way. He says, God is speaking here. It says, if you remember always to honor him in word, in prayer, and in fellowship, then these promises will be true for you. Why? Whatever you're focused on is what you become. Amen. Just to deal with something that just happened. And please, I'm not poking fun here. I'm just being real. There are a lot of people that are truly depressed this morning because the Steelers lost last night, because it's that important to them. Because that's their main focus. Man, football season. Football season. It can be the same thing with hockey. It can be the same thing with, you know, with your favorite actor. It can be the same thing with your job. It can be the same thing with anything. Whatever you focus on, that's what you become. Your main job as a man or woman of God is to become like Jesus. Your focus is being in the Word with him because it's his love letter to you. When you read it, it'll bring life. Guarantee it. When you spend time talking to God, you get to know him. How do you get to know? Every person in this room was new here at some point. And if you just come to church and you don't talk to anybody else and you go out, you feel like, well, it's really an unfriendly church. Well, you know what? You got to talk to people. And the same thing with God. If you're not talking to him, you don't really know him. Half of my prayer time, actually more than half of my prayer time, is listening. I talk to God, and then I spend a lot of time just quietly letting him talk to me. What do you mean God talks to you? Man, he will bring things to my mind that I never thought of. He will give me scripture verses that I need to look up because he's got something there for me. He will even have people come to me and say, da, 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 and they don't even realize that they're talking God to me because it was exactly what I needed to hear. It is very cool the way God does that because you know what? When he sees that you're actively seeking him, you'll find him. God wants to talk to us. We just need to take time to listen. We need to take time to be in His Word and let His Word speak life to us. And we need to be in fellowship like this. So I'm going to ask you to let your light shine today. Your light can't shine if it's not alive in you. It's a new year and a fresh start. You can decide that this is going to be a new year. It's going to be a year where you really put God in charge and see how your attitude changes and those around you are impacted by that change. I want to challenge you this year, this brand new year, to really make a commitment to be in the Word, to really make a commitment to be in prayer, to really make a commitment to be here, either on Friday or Sunday. Well, why? Because I guarantee you that if you do that, your life will be radically changed. Your attitude will be radically changed. But Pastor, there's so many hard words in the Bible. Ask me. It doesn't bother me if you ask questions about the Bible. It doesn't mean that I have all the answers, but if I don't have the answer right then and there, I will spend time to look it up, and I'll get back to you. And to be perfectly honest, there are some things that I can't answer. I can't tell you how old the earth is, because the Bible doesn't say how old the earth is. People try to make the Bible say how old it is, but it doesn't really say. Can God make a rock so large that He can't pick it up? Well, why would God want to do that? And that assumes that you could be someplace, if He did do it, that you could see it. Where would that be? What purpose would that rock serve? Everything God does has a purpose. That's why when even difficulties come my way, I can say, you know what, God? Cool. It's another ornament opportunity. If you do these things, it'll radically change your life. I can tell by people's attitude if they're being fed every day or not. But folks, I also understand that sometimes you want to do God's work, but you just can't. It's kind of like a catch-22. Because God wants to do the work in you, but you must allow Him to do it. Okay? You need to make that happen. I talked about three burdens earlier. This morning, I'm going to want you to come to the altar with, if you don't have three, you just have two, just have one, that's okay. I want you to give them to God. And I want you to write them down, so that way when you start picking them up again, you can say, no, I gave that to God. So I'm letting God deal with him, with her, with this, with that. I'm letting God deal with it. I also talked about wickedness, being that it's any sin. And there are some sins that all of us are more open to than others. Every person is unique. Every person is an individual. Every person has different, created with a different personality, and there's some sins that you're more open to than others. And I want you to bring those this morning and just leave them at the altar and let God deal with them. You may be saying, well, I don't have any wickedness. I don't have, anything in me. Well, let me just say a couple things here very quickly as examples. We see someone who smokes and we judge them for that. We see someone with a drug or alcohol problem and we don't think to pray for them. We see someone struggling with their sexuality and we gossip about them. We judge people both ways because of the color of their skin rather than the content of their character. Folks, we have the power to break bondages. You have the power to break bondages. Say with me, I have the power to break bondages. So I'm going to ask you this morning to come to this altar. Loosen the bonds of wickedness in your own life. Allow God to begin to show you the bonds of wickedness in the lives of others so you can loosen their bonds as well. You have the power. God doesn't say, pray that I will loosen the bonds of wickedness. He says, loosen the bonds of wickedness. He says, you tear away the burdens. You have the power. I don't want that responsibility. Too late. Folks, just say one more bit of political commentary. Democrats or Republicans are not the savior of America. Jesus Christ is, and what he does is he uses us to make the difference. I don't know what all the what God wants to do necessarily about immigration or taxes or the Keystone Pipeline or any of those kind of things, environmental strategies. But I do know, as a man of God, if I pray as a man of God, if I live my life with light and power as a man of God, if I have God as my rear guard, he will instruct me on what to do and how to do it and how to help people. I know that our government can't solve the wickedness in our country. But I know that we can. Because greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. And we need to stop our selfishness and start allowing him to work through us. Let's stand. Father, you are the answer to every problem. And Lord, you have called us. You have filled us with your power. You have filled us with your spirit, with your anointing. You have called us to be overcomers. You have called us to move in that power, to set the captive free, to loosen the bonds of wickedness. You have called us to loosen people, to lift burdens. You have called us to be men and women of God that will radically change our culture and change our world. You have filled us with the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. And Lord, we can use that to let our light shine and allow people to see Jesus in us in such a way that we radically change our world. But Lord, we're so caught up in ourselves. Help us to lay the burdens down. Help us to move by your spirit and to become the men and women of God you've called us to be. Loosen the bonds of wickedness in us. Tear away the burdens from us. Lord, as we come to the altar this morning, do the work that radically changes our lives so that we can set others free. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.